coming through loud and clear? Is everybody hearing me? Fantastic. If you could take up your notice sheets, you'll see the passage, or your service sheet, you'll see the passage on there. Sorry, I'm slightly out of breath. How unfit am I? How unfit am I? And if you want to check what I'm saying in the Bible, it's always good to do that. So if you want to turn back to page 1134, it's always good to check that what people are teaching about the Lord Jesus comes from Jesus' words and Jesus' apostles. So do be doing that for me. Well, let's just pray, shall we? As we look at this part of Romans chapter 8, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you are alive, that you have been raised from the dead, and that you now reign in heavenly glory, that you have all authority in heaven and on earth, even this place. So Lord, would you speak to each and every heart this morning? Would you help us to understand more about you? Would we understand how great your love is and put our faith in you? For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Now, I hope the boys and girls are going to help me this morning. I wonder if they can tell me what I have here. Now, I know it's so clearly what it is because my artistic and creative gifts are so amazing, but you might just need a little clue, a little hint as to what this might be. Has anybody got any ideas? Boys and girls, hands up. Okay, I'll give some more clues. You might put some money in this, or some treasure, or gold bars, or that kind of thing, yes? It's a saving box. It is like a saving box. It's like a very, very grown-up saving box. And this is like a sort of dial on the front that you might put a code in, yeah? It's a safe, yes. I know, it's so obviously a safe, isn't it? My skills are so great, but this is a safe. Now, I wonder if any of the boys and girls were to find out that there's lots of sweets inside here, would you come and help me break in to the safe? Does anybody want to come to the forward? Just you don't have to put your hand up, just come forward and see if you can break into the safe with me. It's a very secure safe, but we might just be able to break into it. Do you think you can just pull this very high security safe down? Oh, there we go. Oh, look, and there's the sweet. So do you want to take a packet of sweets each? All of a sudden, there's all these people who want to break into safes. Don't go home and tell you that you were taught in church this morning to break into safes. Now, there should be it's not just children that break into safes. We've heard recently, haven't we, of people who broke into a rather impressive safe. There's the concrete wall they drilled through. I'll just put those there in case there's anybody else. See, the safe wasn't very safe, was it? And we know that our world is like that. We know that our world is not that safe. There's nothing we can do to stop people breaking in, even to safe places. And the question I want us to think about this morning is, how safe is a Christian? How safe? If you're a Christian here this morning, how safe are you? If you're thinking of becoming a Christian, how safe would you be? But before we go any further, just to ask the question, well, what is a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? We've heard from Hannah and from Audrey, haven't we, of what it means to be a Christian. It's someone who realizes that they're sinful, that they face God's punishment and judgment, and that they need the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive their sins and to give them a new life. He becomes their God. And now they have a new love for God and for other people. But we may be thinking, well, how safe is a Christian? Maybe this morning we are Christians, we think, well, I keep sinning, I keep doing things that I know displease God, or I'm suffering, how can I possibly keep going? Well, what we're going to learn this morning is great news. A Christian is eternally safe. Forever safe. Look at verse 31 with me, and I'll keep going to involve the children, but and sometimes it'll be for the adults. But if you can read, have a look at verse 31. See, Paul is writing to some Christians in Rome, and he says, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Paul speaks with the authority of Jesus Christ, and he says, if God is for Christians, for the Roman Christians, for any Christian, who can be against us? See, a Christian is safe from sin and suffering. And there's three reasons I want us to think about this morning. You'll find the points or these reasons on your sheets. The first is this. The greatest gift. The greatest gift. Now, I have a gift here, and this has something very precious to me. So I wonder if one of the boys and girls would like to come and open this gift so that we can see what a precious thing is in here. Yeah? Do you want to come and open this present? Here we go. Let's keep it up here on the table. You just open that. See, I have something that's very precious. It's not my fishing rods. They're very precious to me. It's not my spade and fork in the garden. They're very precious to me. But this is something even more precious. I can't have wrapped it up that well. This is very, very good unwrapping. This is very, very controlled. I think we could just rip it off. Do you want to just rip it off? We're sort of waiting here. Great. Well, there we go. Okay, very precious. Do you want to take that out? Just show everybody this most precious gift. One of the most precious things to me. Now, it's not the dolly. I don't actually think dollies are very precious. No, it's my children. Do you want to take that back with you? Well done. Just do take the dolly with you if you want to. Great. It's obviously not that precious. No, okay. Those of us who have children, aren't they the most precious thing to us? How do we know God loves Christians? How do we know he loves with this secure, safe love? Well, have a look with me at verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not, along with him, graciously give us all things? See, Paul is saying, look, think about it, Christians in Rome, for a moment. If God gave his son for you, for people like you and me, so that we can be forgiven and be his children, is he not going to give you all things that you need? If he's given his own son, I mean, who would give away their own child? No one would. But God loves people so much that in agreement with the Son of God, Jesus came into the world as a baby. We celebrate that at Christmas, don't we? He lived a perfect life as a man, and then he died on a cross to take our guilt and sin into his own body on the tree so that all who trust in him can be forgiven and given a new life. And it's for free. It's a free gift. He did not spare his own son. So whatever sins we battle with, whatever sufferings we face, would he give us his son and then not give us all we need to get from this life to the next? Not keep us going until we reach heaven? Will he give you his son, Christian, and not give you the strength to keep going as a Christian until that day when you see him? Of course not. He's given you the most precious thing. How will he not, along with him, give you all that you need to get to heavenly glory? If you're a Christian here this morning, you are safe, eternally safe, secure. Nothing can separate you from God's love. He's already given you his son. How much more can he give? He'll give you all things. But we might think, yes, but John, you don't understand how much I break God's law, how much I sin. I still battle and struggle with sin. Well, here's our second reason why we can be entirely secure and safe. Right, I'd like three volunteers from the children, please. Oh, look, there happens to be three bags of sweets left. That's quite handy. So one, two, three. Great. Now, not yet. If you want to just space that way, I want you each to take one of these each. So do you want to hold that up nice and clearly? And you hold that one up nice and clearly. And if you want to just hold this one for the moment and make it clear to everybody out there, hold it up nice and high. Brilliant. Now, I have a confession to make. 2 weeks ago, I had a parking ticket. Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? It's really terrible. Now, I should know that now, when you get a parking ticket, you get a lovely little plastic wallet just to keep it nice and safe. And you get a lovely little piece of paper inside. And inside, there's the charge, you know, parking in the wrong place that the traffic warden writes down. And then there's the penalty. which is always exorbitant, isn't it? But then there you go. You've got the charge and the penalty. Now, Jesus taught very, very clearly that each and every one of us face a sort of divine parking ticket, if you want to put it in those terms. We have a charge and a penalty. What is the charge? The charge is breaking God's perfect law. We don't love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. And we don't love our neighbour as ourselves. And that is deeply serious because we offend an infinite God of infinite goodness. And so the penalty is an infinite penalty. Eternal punishment. Because the sin is much greater than we think. That charge is a far greater charge than any of us grapple with. But the question is, how can we know that we're safe as Christians? Well, here's our parking charge notice. And it says that there's no unauthorized persons can interfere with this ticket. But thankfully, there was an authorized person who came into the world. Do you want to just put that down and hold this up? God himself. Just hold that right up. In the person of his son. And he took the charge that should have been ours because we hadn't kept God's law. He was treated as if he had broken God's law on the cross. And he took the penalty of an eternal separation and punishment by God on the cross. So that all who trust in him have no charge, no penalty. Keep it up there. And God says so. Can we see this in verse 33? Have a look. If you doubt what I'm saying to be true, look at what Paul is writing with the authority of Jesus Christ, because Jesus met him and told him to go and speak for him. He says, verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Expecting the answer, well, no one. It is God who justifies, no penalty, no condemnation, there's nothing to pay. If God says that, who is left to say you're guilty? If you're a Christian here this morning and God says you are innocent, who is left to say that you are guilty? No one. Round of applause for these three, please. And do you want to take your bags of sweets? Now, if you're just thinking about Christian things this morning, is that not at least worth investigating more? Maybe Christianity Explored, it may be taking a gospel from the back and reading it. The possibility of God himself having a verdict over your life that you are not guilty. Not guilty at all. You will go to heaven, for sure, safe. Is that not worth thinking about? But I guess many of us here this morning are Christians, and we might say, well, yeah, the things that I'm suffering as a Christian, I'm just not sure I can keep going. Will I keep going to that final day when I die and see God? And that's where we've got our final reason. And I hope a picture is coming up on the screen. Because the great news that Paul wants to convince the Roman Christians is that God's love is an almighty, powerful love. Have a look at verse 35. And this is, I guess, more for the adults now. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? In the Greek, they all expect the answer no. They could do that with questions in the Greek language. We don't have that. And then he quotes from the Old Testament, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. When we look out into the world, that is still the case, isn't it? The Christians are often no better than sheep to be slaughtered. It was the case in Rome. Thrown to the lions. Slaughtered. But Paul says, no. Are these things going to separate us from God's love? No, God's love is so safe and secure. It's safer than a safe. Because God's powerful love has got hold of us if we're Christians. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Conquerors over persecution, conquerors over famine and nakedness and danger and sword. Even slaughter, we're conquerors because his love, even death, cannot end. But the cross of Jesus is a rescue that is way safer than any kind of security or safe we can think of. You see, the rescue of Jesus is a lot more like a lifeboat than a rowing boat. The rescue of Jesus is about him coming and powerfully taking hold of our lives. It's not about us doing the best we can, rowing, you know, rowing through the storm thinking, I'm still rowing, I'm so exhausted, I'm not sure I'm going to carry on rowing. It's not like that. No, Paul was convinced, and he wanted to convince the Christians in Rome that nothing, not death, not demons, not the future, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Is that something you think about yourself as a Christian, that you are loved by God in such a safe way that nothing you face in the future, nothing that you suffer will stop God loving you? Not death, not hell. What's there left? Nothing. Now, as we close, I just want to speak to those who would not describe themselves yet as Christians. Perhaps you're investigating things. Being a Christian is not about being good enough for God. Being a Christian is not about trying your best and hoping for the best. I'm sorry if you've come into churches throughout our land and that's what you've heard. They're not telling you the truth about Jesus. They've not told you what Jesus taught. Because the good news of Jesus is much better than that. Because if it's all down to our own effort and how hard we can row, then, well, what happens if we give up? But if the rescue is about God taking hold of us, we're safe. Eternally safe. Forever safe. So I just want to ask you three questions. Have you received the gift that God offers you of forgiveness of sins, of a place in glory with him? Have you received the gift? Can you say in your own life, God has declared me innocent? I know that he's done that. He's poured out his love into my heart by the Holy Spirit. I know that he loves me and I will be with him in glory. I am not guilty. God has already declared that in my life. Do you know that? Do you know God's powerful rescue? Well, the great news is that we can know these things even today, asking God to do that for us. But maybe we need to go on a course and ask questions, and that's absolutely fine. But can I urge you not to go out from today thinking, well, you know, I'll think about that another time. This is just too good. The news is too good to ignore it. Can I encourage you to pursue what God offers? But most of us here are Christians, and as we close, I just want us to look at verse 37 together. Have a look at verse 37. Because we face lots of challenges in our lives as Christians, don't we? And Paul wanted the Roman Christians to be convinced of this. For I am convinced, that's what Paul says. It's what led him to be so fruitful in his Christian life. And then he has all these things will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you convinced that nothing can separate you from God's love? Because that's what sets us free to serve him, isn't it? That conviction. What can we do if we're not convinced? Grapple with Romans. I know Romans is a hard book, but Paul wrote this book so that Christians were utterly convinced that nothing could separate them from God's love. And do you know how they lived that out? Do you know how they lived that eternal security that they had? Well, they were happy to face death. They were happy to be thrown to the lions, not just metaphorically, but literally. Those Christians were so convinced that they were eternally safe in God's love that they continued to witness for Christ and to serve him, despite the fact that that meant that they were thrown to the lions and killed. And you know what? Because of that confidence, the whole Roman Empire was won in time for Christ. He's that powerful. So we close with this question. How safe is the Christian? Eternally safe. Safe forever in Christ. If you're a Christian here this morning, who can be against you? No one. No one. Not you. Not anybody you know. Not any powers. because God is for us. Well, let's pray together, shall we, as we close. Father, we praise you for these truths and we ask for your Spirit to be at work in our hearts, helping us to understand these things that naturally we reject. And we pray particularly for those of us who don't feel safe as Christians. Would we grow in our understanding that your rescue is a lifeboat kind of rescue, not a rowing boat kind of rescue. And that we would rejoice and revel in the security we have, a forever, eternal safety. Thank you, Lord, for these things. Amen.